Good evening, everyone. This is In the Know, brought to you by the Racing Post. And they billed it as a two-horse race. It was Denman versus Corto all over again, except it was the year when Imperial Commander came over the top and did them both. The Judgment, of course, was supposed to be a battle of the generations, which it was, except it was Item versus Al Macum, who I called for a furlong and a half in the office down the home straight as the winner. And so did everyone else who piled into him at 101 on the exchanges, apparently, as well. But he was chinned on the line by a proper York horse. We'll talk about the team tactics or whatever else happened in behind a little bit later on. Elsewhere, the Derby form got a boost there. It already had a good boost with Maltese Cross bolting up in the Great Voltigeur. What a likeable horse he is. He can do it every way you want, can't he, at the moment. And we'll have some exciting targets for him in the autumn, I'm sure. And we'll go through the rest of the card today as well as we gear up for tomorrow. The Derby took a boost. Will the Oaks get the same treatment, or will the older horses dominate in the Yorkshire Oaks? And there are 500 horses running in the Lowther tomorrow. It is an absolute crackerjack of a contest, but arguably the best two-year-old filly runs in the sales race tomorrow. So we'll look at that as well, along with plenty of other red-hot handicaps. My name is Ross Briley, and get involved on the chat as well if you're watching from home. Like and subscribe. We got a cracking number of subscribers last night, and me shouting about it throughout the evening worked wonders, so I'm going to continue from here on in. As I welcome the panel for this evening, it is Paul Keighley.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you? How was day one of York in your parish?
Yeah, good. I mean, a shade frustrating at times, but I really fancied Menatee Mammoth in the sprint, and it ran into one and beat the rest.
Yep.
But I also had a couple creep in at big prices into the extra place for fifth, and the winner of the last. So can't complain. In front.
Pretty good.
It was nice. No stewards inquiry in the last. I know you were surprised by that.
I was slightly surprised.
Stewards probably, either had too much bubbly, or they were focusing on the horse that was wandering all over the place rather than what was happening on the rail. Because it probably was a little bit unlucky that second.
Yeah, it was one of those ones, like it was a bit of a magician's distraction trick with the Dancing Pirate, wasn't it? Because and you could make the argument that the Dancing Pirate intimidating Henley on Thames was what caused that, but I don't know.
Yeah, not convinced.
I'd have certainly had a look, that's
for
sure.
Absolutely.
And the big race.
The big race, yeah.
Welcome to York.
Welcome to York. It happens, doesn't it? It happens in a lot of big races. We've had lots of short. We've had Golden Horn turned over in that. We've had Tegruda turned over in the Yorkshire Oaks. It does happen. Years ago, Brigadier Jewell got turned over in the what was then the Benson Edges Gold Cup, I believe. So it does happen a fair bit.
Yeah.
A surprise, but no great surprise, if you know what I mean. But a mess of a race. I mean, everyone was moaning about a mess of a race last year when obviously the leaders went off lickety split and only Ombudsman could get to them. But I don't get how we allow people like John Gosden, just because he's John Gosden, to get away with talking complete and utter nonsense, which is what he did.
What did he say
after the last? He blamed the ground, said it was soft. The winning time was half a second slower than last year.
Right.
It wasn't soft, was it? I mean, it couldn't possibly have been soft ground.
Yeah.
So that is just complete nonsense. But he says he didn't handle the ground. What he got was a bad ride, probably not helped by the fact that the supposed pacemaker action dropped out last and stayed alongside them all the way. But William Buick still had a lot of time to come round, and that horse has come round the outside every single time he's won his races. So what was he doing going up the inside, especially as Tom pointed out, I think, in this morning's Racing Post, that the going stick suggested the ground was fastest on the outside, on the centre. What was he doing trying to go up the inside? It's a mile and a quarter race with a good half mile running, and you've managed to find loads of trouble. Whether he would have picked up, and whether he was at his best or not, right? The ground is a complete nonsense of an excuse. There is an unwritten rule, of course, that good horses always have an excuse for getting beat, but that wasn't one.
But this is what, so this is kind of what, I mean, I was doing it from a different angle, but this is kind of what I said in a column I wrote last week, is that that will then be sort of, that quote will be immortalised immediately after the race, yeah, where you've not, yeah, looked at the time, you've not watched the replay, yeah, but you've not watched anything, yeah, and you know, John Gosden is, yeah, probably, yeah, smarter than all of us combined, I'm sure, but
yeah, absolutely,
instantly,
but he's wrong.
After the race is not, you cannot possibly, no, say this is the reason,
no, no,
why,
but he's wrong, but it will be repeated ad infinitum,
yeah,
by him and by loads of other people, yeah, the next time Ombudsman turns up, if he turns up for another race, of course.
Right, and there's, yeah, also other things, like, for example, the whole thing about, you know, we now have to reevaluate. Everyone was saying, oh, Item got beat because of the ground at Epsom or whatever. Mm. And now you might think, well, was it more the trip? Was it more the track? Was it all sort of, instantly, yeah, after a race, people go, oh, well, this is
just not right on the day. They're not machines, are they? Like, yeah. You know, simple as that.
Tom Siegel sat at home, right, enjoying the racing today. Yeah, we were hoping for a, you know, a big talking point, a fascinating Judmont International, and we got, it's a bit like the old, you know, it's like a Twilight Zone episode, isn't it? It's be careful what you wish for, you know, a cheeky genie coming out and saying, oh, you want a ding-dong battle between an older horse and a three-year-old, do you? Oh, you want a lot of talking points? You don't want pacemakers ruining the race? Well, here you go, enjoy the Judmont International.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I don't get Ballydoyle tactics ever. They seem to do exactly the opposite of what I expect them to do every single time. If you'd have told me they would have gone quite hard early on, not especially hard, but quite hard early on with Hawk Mountain and Constitution River, I would have said that's a billion to one. I would have said it's a billion to one that that's the way the race is going to go with action out the back. You know, and I just don't get what they do. That some, you know, at Royal Ascot, they go bonkers and let Ombudsman win. You know what I mean? When they don't need, I just don't get their tactics ever. So, I mean, they win too many races for, you know, they're obviously better at it than me because they win all these races. But I never quite understand what they're up to. I didn't get for a second what their tactics were there. It quite clearly, I mean, you look where Hawk Mountain finished and Constitution River, I think, was just shattered coming to the final furlong. I thought Item was the best horse from start to finish. I think he would have been an incredibly unlucky loser. Mm. I thought he was going better than Ombudsman the whole way round. I think if you watch the race again, Ombudsman tries to get a gap and Item's quicker to that gap than he, yeah, is, and is going better than he is. So I like Keels. I don't think the ground... Look, the only thing I'd say in John Godson's defence, it's York. It's York, and York is a funny track. It's a very, very, I mean, I've described it as the strangest place on earth, and I do think it is. A little bit of rain there does a lot of, some horses just hate it.
Yeah.
So the time might have been very similar to last year, but it might have been that Ombudsman wasn't as effective, yeah, under the conditions as he was last year. It's what I'm trying to say. It's just a weird place.
Well, it used to be, you know, I remember, I can't remember the name of the horse, but I remember backing a Tom Tate horse of 10 furlongs in a proper York specialist in heavy ground. And you know, it used to, when it rained at all at York, it used to go soft. And then when it rained, it used to be, you know, like you said, the horrific, the worst ground ever. So it is amazing how it can change on a sixpence like that. I mean, the other question thing I want to say to you is that there's been, you know, a few Twitter judges and whatnot saying that William Buick's not having a great year. By this time last year, Buick had won 6 Group 1s. This year he's on 2, and he's had a fairly frustrating season. The numbers are a little bit down. He's not quite firing on all cylinders. Was there a bit of sort of a slight lack of confidence in the decisions he was making there, do you think?
No, I don't know. I mean, what's he supposed to do? And what was he supposed to do? He's drawn one. He's got a horse marking him on the outside. Was he supposed to pull back and go round it? Probably. But in the heat of the battle, it's so easy when we're sitting. It's like a footballer, isn't it? When he doesn't see the pass.
Yeah.
Go, you know, the obvious pass. His target was Constitution Hill River. I keep calling him Constitution Hill. It's ridiculous. Constitution River, wasn't it? So all his focus would have been on Constitution River. Now, in hindsight, that was the wrong horse to focus on. But before the race, during the race, probably that's what everyone was telling him. His job was to beat Constitution River. He thought following him up the inside was the best route. As it turned out, it wasn't. But do I criticise him for that? No, not really. I think I would have done the same.
And again, look, one man's trash is another man's treasure or whatever. One's bad day is another man's good day. Colin Keane last year, I was kind of against him for the first few months of his new job because it was a bit of a baptism of fire for him. He's having a cracking summer, isn't he? Obviously, Blue Bolt, Kalpana. I thought this was his finest hour on Ayton because I think the... I think, is it about furlong and a half from home where he reins him back, he edges out, and then he gets him motivated down the middle of the track. If he goes to the inside of Al Makkam, I think he gets beat. And I think that decision I think it's possibly, yeah, the best sort of split-second race round decision I've seen Colin Keane do all year.
Well, possibly. Possibly. When you win, you always look like a genius, don't you? I mean, I think for 80% of the race, everything was going wrong that could go wrong. That decision might have made the difference for sure. But I thought Ayton was just the best horse all the way through the race and would have been an incredibly unlucky loser. I got him wrong from start to finish. I remember Keels tipping him for the Derby on this show and me and you laughing at him, saying that horse has got no chance. Well, how wrong we were.
Well, we're right on the day.
Well, we were lucky on the day.
I haven't forgiven him for that.
Yeah, fair.
I haven't even considered
him for his next trip. Do you know what I mean? This is what racing's about. Mm. You know, you have these people that, you know, these guys that say, 40-1 winner or whatever, and then never wins another race. They just got lucky on the day. That's what happens. It's so hit or miss. I was, you know, you listen to PJ McDonald after the first race. He said, oh, yeah, no one knows. This horse ripped two shoes off on the stalls last time and he got, you know, he had a bit of something wrong with him the time before. No one knows these things. Do you know what I mean? And so there's so many things that we don't know that happen in races. And we sort of say, oh, you know, this is, you know. Ayton was the best horse by a long way, I thought, today. And he deserves his place as the best three-year-old colt around at the moment for me.
Can we have a quick word for Maltese Cross? Because like you said last night, he did something different in France. And... He is, you know, Mr. Reliability, isn't he?
Yeah, I probably forgot him when I was saying Ayton was the best three. Oh, I think Maltese Cross might be the best three. I thought he was superb. Yeah, I think he's just so smooth now, isn't he? When he was winning at Lingfield and running in the Derby, I thought he was a bit of a lummox, but he is smoothness personified now, isn't he? I think he's turned into a really good horse. I don't know where they'll go. I mean, in the old days, they used to be able to do both, but they never very often won both, the St. Ledger and the Arc. I presume, I mean, on the TV today, they were suggesting he'd go for the Arc. I don't know.
He's 7-2 for the Ledger. I think he'd be nailed on for the Ledger because you think he's a guaranteed today.
Yeah.
And that was a really good performance under a penalty. I don't think there's any doubt about that whatsoever, but he does travel well and you're going to be tempted, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're going to have to be tempted.
I mean, he's already gone over to France and shown his form.
I don't think
any
horse has ever done the Ledger Arc double, although User Friendly came very close years ago. And it certainly has been tried. Nijinsky tried it, you know, and
Princess nearly did it, didn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, exactly.
She was second.
You know, but they haven't done it so far. Whether William Haggis would want to do that, I don't know.
Well, the big advantage is, given that William Haggis trains him, there's no chance whatsoever that we don't see him next year, barring...
Well, I mean, you'd hope so. If he wins the Arc, they might change their mind.
Yeah, well, maybe. But if he's this good as a three-year-old, you know, Haggis horse is just getting going at this point.
Yeah.
He was really good, though, wasn't he? He was really good. He's getting better. He's the best. I think the other Aidan O'Brien horse that wasn't running is pretty good, too. The one who ran in the King George. I think those two. I'd love to see those two go head-to-head over a mile and a half. I think Maltese Cross might win, though.
Anyway, great day at York. More to come tomorrow. Hello to everyone on the chat, to Billy Knott, to Destiny Sounds, the Sprint King, Tom Siegel, who's on the chat. hello to you. To George Murray, to John Hall, to Alex Mansfield, to David Foster, to Viper Viper, to various other people, to In Pastures Green, who says, Ross, good to see you in Doncaster this morning. I think you've been talking to someone else in Pastures Green, possibly one of my many lookalikes, Yogi Bear, the lead singer from The Killers, all those guys, you know.
Yogi Bear, do you look like Yogi Bear, do you?
Apparently I looked like Yogi, at uni I looked like Yogi Bear, apparently, so there you go. And Keels is a boo-boo.
I think that might be the other way around somehow.
So there you go. Let's crack on then, shall we, to day two. More fun and games to come. And we talked over the summer. Where have all the two-year-olds gone? All the two-year-olds that were in at Royal Ascot, where have they all gone? They're in the Lowther, apparently, is the answer. Libertango is 2-1 favourite here. Star of State, 3-1. Livenka, 15-2. Wild Blossom, 8-1. Moonrise, 12-1. In the Black is 16-1. Ruby Moon, 20s. Crown Breaker, 25s. And bigger prices, the rest, including some, you know, clearly quite talented horses. Jolivet wasn't beaten that far last time out. Miss Cody ran well last time out. Alta Regina was all the rage for the Queen Mary, and is a very, very big price indeed. And given, you know, I'm not going to say this to Tom because he'll poo-poo it, but given the sprints today, Keels, we've got a favourite in box 15, which might make this race worth having a gander.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always never that convinced about the draw. I really not.
There was so much
at this track in particular, though, Tom. There was so much pace on the far side in the first race today.
Yeah,
like, you know, you'd have expected it, but it's all kind of, you know, the first two come down the middle in the other sprint. The Miss Your Chance and
Box seven, Miss Your Chance. Box six, Henley on Thames.
Yeah, but you know, Henley on Thames.
Box five, Air Force One.
Henley on Thames was around a bend, wasn't it?
No, six furlongs.
Oh, six, was it? Yeah.
Yeah. Box 6 beat box 7, beat box 2, beat box 11, beat box 10, beat box 9.
Yeah, I'm still not convinced, but irrespective of that, right, what we don't know is what the weather's going to do. On the Met Office at the moment, it's saying there is between a 70 and 90% chance of rain every hour from 10 p.m. tonight until just before racing tomorrow. So if you think a little bit of rain can make a difference, then what could become, because they've got thunderstorm warnings, which means, A, you might get an absolute ton, but you might not get anything at all. Like, you know what I mean? Because that's what happens with thunderstorms. They either hit or they miss.
Or I spoke to my wife a couple of hours ago, and she is supposed to volunteer at the local farm, which she does once a week, and they said, don't bother coming in tomorrow. This is in Leeds. There'll be torrential rain all morning. So, you're right, it could completely change.
It could completely change. It could get very soft. And there were so many horses. There was not a single horse in this race that's got soft ground form. Like, you know, I think there's only three in the sales race, for instance. Mm. So I don't want to be betting the big field at short prices. As simple as that. I think Libertango is still the one to beat. Star of State is interesting, having won by a mile at Leopardstown last time, but the form of the ones behind it have suggested that they're no good.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's, you know, that would be a worry. You can make cases for lows, but I just thought Ruby Moon was way, way too big at 25s.
Okay.
So I backed her. She'd run only once, and then she ran against Senorita Bonita.
Yeah.
And Libertango in the Duchess of Cambridge at Newmarket last time, and she'd only won a five runner Carlisle race in a really, really slow time. The time before, so she was chucked in the deep end, and at halfway she had no idea what to do. She was all over the block, all over the shop. But Connections had booked Ryan Moore for it, and when she did pick up, she picked up to some good effect, and she was only a couple of lengths behind Libertango. She's by No Day Never, who, you know, same as Libertango, who does get his fair share, has a pretty good strike weight with soft on rain softened ground.
He does, yeah.
I don't think she should be as big as, I mean, she's a shorter price, she's a bigger price than Jeff Oldroyd's In the Black, who won a four runner race in a time so slow it didn't deserve a top speed figure. Like, you know, and she's got, you know, she's only been beat a couple of lengths by the favourite. You know, it doesn't make sense to me. So I just thought she was a mad price.
Yeah, Ruby Moon. And the also the Fahey team were in shocking form until fairly recently as well. So the fact that she ran so well, even when they were out of form, suggests that she
eight winners from last 38, 21%, and I mean that's double their 5-year strike rate, 21%. So yeah, going well.
All right, Ruby Moon then is a 20-1 shot, but yes, I mean it's a very top heavy market, Tom.
Yeah, I don't think they're any good. That's why I think all the 2-year olds so far have been. I think as we see, Aidan O'Brien comes along and just wins, doesn't he? Basically, apart from the Dr. Rascal at Goodwood. I think the 2-year-olds so far have been pretty moderate. So I don't know. I think Kills is right. Maybe you take a shot at one at a big price. I am very, very worried about the Star of State, though. I just think she could be totally different class. The time was pretty decent at Leopardstown. I just don't know. I thought she looked really good. I just like the way she did it. I would never back her at 3-1 because she's stepping up massively in class, as Kiel's pointed out, against, and she beat nothing last time. but I do think she's got a chance. I also like Moonrise as a horse. I think we were talking about her when she won at Ascot. I just like her. I think she'll like York. She's drawn in somewhere you wouldn't like her to be drawn, Ross.
But she's drawn all the way out in 16, yep.
Yeah, that can't win, can it? No chance. So, the other one was Harry Eustace's filly, Shimmering Sun. Shimmering Sun, yeah? Yep. That it? There it is, right at the bottom, just come up. Shimmering Sun at a big price. Just behind a couple of these at Royal Ascot, didn't actually get the best of runs, and then ran a really, really good race in a listed race at Nace last time, sort of got stuck behind, had to switch to the near side, finished really well. She will definitely like six furlongs. Who knows if any of these will like soft ground? That's the problem. I think Star of State will, just judging by pedigree and how she raced last time. So I think she's the most likely winner, but I would never back her at 3-1. I will throw in Keels is one, Ruby Moon and Shimmering Sun as the two at big prices that I would give a chance to.
All right, fair enough. I've backed two you haven't even mentioned at big prices as well. So this is this could go horribly, couldn't it? To be fair, they've both got, well, partly because they've both got soft ground form, but about Crownbreaker at 33s, who everything about her suggests six furlongs is what she's been wanting. Pedigree, run style, the way she finishes her races, everything. Took a false step at Goodwood last time out, beaten 14 lengths, but just seemed to hate the track. She was fifth in the Queen Mary, which we know is pretty much the best two-year-old form around this year. She won a soft ground at Deauville, where she powered clear over five. Obviously, the yard have had the juvenile winner in the last today, which gives her a bit more of a chance as well. She joined in box three. And the other one is Miss Cody, who absolutely bolted up on soft ground debut in a really strong time. I thought she was just inexperienced at Ascot. There was a bit of a flash of the tail. She had to switch out a little bit. But the horses that finished in front of her had run, about 20 times between them. And she was only on second start. Clive Cox at York as well. They're both 33-1. I thought they were daft prices as well. So there you go. Combination tricast, boys. I don't know.
Should be a race to have a crack at a few, innit?
It just and to be fair, we kind of thought that about the Acom today, and you know,
the Fav one.
And the Fav one, but this does look slightly different to my eyes, and Philly's slightly less reliable in that regard to a certain extent. So there you go. There's loads of them, and feel free to come in the chat and say you've tipped up six horses between you, and you're right. But that's not doing it on purpose. Let's have a look. Libertango wins, as Richard Long could well do it. Love a Giggle, says Richie Coleman. Miss Cody for David Deere, won a good soft at Chepstow. And GSTW Sam 22 says Libertango won't win. So there you go. That's the Lowther tomorrow. Could be an absolute cracker of a renewal. Possibly running anything between good to firm and heavy ground. Who knows by the time we get to... We get to 150. The Harry's Half Million then is up next. Six furlongs the distance, and at £293,184. Oh, and 10p to the winner. By Lord, the connections of Sun Goddess need it. 10-11, the favourite. Tokaido is 4-1. Satellite of Love 9-2. Quillen is 14. 16-1. The best is yet to come, and 18-1. Where Love Lives, it's 20-1. Bar those. And a bit of a rarity in this race, Tom. Sun Goddess, they've decided to come here for the cash, and she's receiving weight from some horses who are rated about 3 stone her inferior. I'm not going to say that she's drawn in 17 because that won't interest you whatsoever. But the class act in the race. I think the best sort of filly to have taken in this possibly in the past few years was Happy Romance. Tasleet won this as well. He was a classy horse as well. But yeah, she's a very different type to what you normally get in this.
Yeah, absolutely. And Aidan's often runs some horses in these sales races, and they tend to do really well, as you would expect, considering he's got so many good horses. And she clearly sets the standard, doesn't she? But she's 10-11. She's never run on soft ground, and she's, as you say, she's drawn in trap 17. Now, I don't think she can't win from there, but as you've pointed out many times, Ross, if they could choose, they wouldn't be in 17. It's not that I'm worried about it, but that's where they would go low if they could. So I think she's worth taking on each way. I would suggest that Satellite of Love is the obvious one, considering Clive Cox has won this race last three times,
yep.
And I think he looked good at Newbury last time, winning under a penalty. Did the second win since? Agrippa, did it win at Goodwood? I can't remember.
Second's won, fourth won the other day as well. Badadadan bolted up at Nottingham.
Yeah, he looks like he wouldn't mind a bit of soft ground either. I think his pedigree suggests it wouldn't be. So I could see him going well. The one I like, the one I've backed, it was 66-1 earlier in the day, was The Best Is Yet to Come for Adrian Keatley. Ran in Thirsk Maiden at the start of the season, was really well backed for a Keatley newcomer. I mean, they don't win very often first time up, but he was 6-4 to beat Where Love Lives, or whatever it's called, the one. Oh, no, is it Where Love Lives?
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Lives, yep.
Where Love Lives and another
Hickory Lad.
Yeah, and he was outpaced, quite understandably, against some good horses. But then he went to Ayr last time, and he just the last furlong in soft ground. He ran in soft ground. He's by Starman out of a See the Stars mare, so he probably needs six furlongs, probably a bit further. But he was really impressive through the last furlong. Adrian Keatley's got a lot of two-year-olds this year, and a lot of them are pretty decent. He had a fourth or fifth today in the Acom. This one has got all the entries. He's in the National Stakes. He's in the race at Doncaster next week. He just looks like he thinks he's pretty decent. Mm. So when he was 50-1 or whatever he was, I thought, given the soft ground, he's in one of your low draws. I know it's that, Ross.
Yep.
Isn't he? Where
is
he?
Two. He's in box two.
Two. I thought he might finish off and hit the frame at a big price. Now he's 16-1 now. I think that's about the right price. But I could see him running well. And if Sun Goddess does falter in the ground, he might just win it.
Yeah, and again, Adrian Keatley is fast becoming one of my sort of favourite trainers. He can just do it all. And he had a well back win at Carlisle the day, was an influencer man 2-year-old. He had a well back win at Ponty, which I backed a few weeks ago, where they smashed from sort of fives into 7 or 4 or something.
Well,
so.
He knows what he's doing. He's actually run 6 juveniles in his career in listed class or better at this meeting, and he's had 3 places. He's had a second in the Acom at 11-4, but the other two were second beating the nose at 50s in the Roses Stakes and third at 80-1 in the Gimcrack. I have actually had a fair bet on his horse in the Gimcrack on Friday because it was 33-1 and should be about 8s.
Which one's that?
Spinning heel.
Oh yeah, hell of a spin.
Hell of a spin, that's it.
You're not the only person that's tipped that to me, so that's it.
Yeah, it's a crazy price. On Racing Post Vigor's got £1 to find, I think. But anyway, so I was very, very tempted to tip The Best Is Yet to Come because of the entries, because he won on soft ground. And I ended up not doing so, but I'm very glad to say that I snappled a little bit of the 66-1 before Tom ruined the price by tipping it. So a little bit smug about that for myself. The reason I didn't tip it, I was a little bit worried that we were purely playing only for places. Because Sun Goddess is such a stick out, isn't it? I mean, you know, you said Clive Cox has won the last three. His last two winners ran to Racing Post ratings of 87 and 89. Yeah. Sun Goddess ran to 112 when winning the Phoenix Stakes last time.
I tried to find anything that had anything near her
absolutely.
Profile.
Yeah, no,
so it wasn't anything.
No, exactly. So she's got to absolutely hate the ground to get beat.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ground might not actually be that bad. We don't know. I'm assuming it's going to be somewhere on the soft side. So I think she'd probably just win. And I'm quite glad I haven't tipped it because I wouldn't back The Best Is Yet to Come at 16s, I don't think.
Fair enough. I'm quite annoyed. I guess it would have been a much shorter price, obviously. But Satellite of Love was going to be my nap of the entire week. And still might be to a certain extent. It did really good time at Windsor, and I was like, crikey, this is absolutely dotted up. And then it went to Newbury, carried the penalty, really good time again. I thought that form was really good, travelled well, found plenty. I thought, this is a good horse. And I thought, this will run in a Richmond or a Gimcrack or something. And the only entry I had was this. And then I looked at the race and said, oh, Clive Cox has won his last 3 years. I thought, oh, well, we know where he's going. The dam's a Mason dam as well. Like, everything, he should relish the ground. But again, like you said, I think he's, you know, before places, sort of 9-2, 5-1, each way 4 places, like, I cannot see me not getting my money back, but I'm probably just going to get
probably
my money back.
Probably just going to get your money back, yeah. That's it. So I ended up leaving that race alone.
Yeah, fair enough. Which is
back
a bit of a
shame. Back him, Ross. Back him. Back him. It's a horse race. We saw what happened today.
Never be afraid of one horse, you should say.
Yeah. To be fair, I'll back just back. I'll probably at this. I...
Well, no, they also say bigger the field, bigger the certainty.
That's what Lord John Budden used to say to me.
This is obviously the biggest load of nonsense known. But if you put Sun Goddess in against the best five horses in this race, she'd be freeze on.
Yeah, fair. Well, Lord John Budden, God rest his soul, he had three things. Bigger the field, bigger the certainty. Grandma's rule was never change your mind. Never change your mind, regardless of what happens. And always back the outsider of three. Mm. In the three rules.
Which is complete nonsense.
Well, I don't know. Look, John knew more, had forgotten more when I started working with him than I'll ever know.
I've forgotten nearly everything now.
Yeah, fair enough. Back him, Ross's destiny. I'm just going to back him to win because, again, I'm going to be brave. Sod getting your money back. Oh, I've changed. I've changed in my old age. And as someone said last night, Tom, I am looking at greyhounds on dog websites. And probably I need to order an NFL jumper now as well. So.
Yeah. Exactly. Smarter than the average bear, you.
Right. let's move on to 3 o'clock at York. A really big mile handicap here where Centigrade is 3-1 favourite. Bullet Point 11-2. Blue Brother 8-1. The Lost King is 10-1. Mescalette is 10-1. Eternal Force is 11-1 and 12-1. And bigger the rest. This is an absolute crackerjack of a race. I'm smarter than your average bear. You are a few sandwiches short of a picnic basket, and this is just your type of race.
Absolutely.
To get stuck
it
into.
It is my sort of race, but I have had a save on a favourite because I think he could be a group horse.
Okay.
And he does have a group two entry at the end of the month, in fact. Centigrade, he had his first run for ages, and he won a Mickey Mouse race at Sutherland the other day, but he won it very easily, which is what he's done on his other starts as well, both on bad ground. As a two-year-old in the second of them, it got finished second on the first one of them, but on the second one of them, he absolutely destroyed Further and Dachery Bay at Newbury by 5.5 lengths, absolutely trounced them. And it looks for all the world as though he could be a group horse, and if the ground goes on the soft side, he obviously likes it. He's going to be a massive player because he could be way better even in a mark of 102. So I've had a little saver on him, but I thought Spellmaster was just way too big at 25s each way. He ran an absolute blinder in the John Smith's Cup over a mile and two earlier in the season. He finished sixth, would have finished closer if it had stayed, but he clearly didn't stay. And I think that race was way, way, way better than this one.
Yeah.
Next time out, a Goodwood, he found all the trouble going, which, you know...
It was a mess of a race.
He was eye-catching. I think he's perfectly well handicapped. He ran right up to his best the only time he encountered soft ground earlier in his career at Newmarket as a two-year-old, last run of his life as a two-year-old. So, yeah, I think, he's run pretty well every time he's run. And I just think he's just way too big.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's exactly like the sales race in the sense that we could easily, I don't want to take on the favourite particularly, like you said, because he just looks very good.
I'm making sure I don't lose if he wins.
Yeah.
Right, you know what I mean? But I am going to have a bet on Spellmaster. You know, negative is the draw in 14, has been done around a mile there, but you arguably want to be lower.
Which brings, I think this might be Blue Brothers Day. There's been a few where I think the markets thought it was going to be Blue Brothers Day, but he's run absolute blinders on fast ground. He had too much last time out at Goodwood and set it up for his stablemate. But an absolute storm at Ascot, but just seemed to lack the pace. Hits the ground hard, got proper soft ground form. He's run three times on good to firm ground. All his form in France is on soft, and he's been dropped. You know, he's off a mark of 98. He's drawn in box five. I thought he's buying Tello as well. I don't know. I kept looking at it thinking this might. As Rodgers would say, this might be his day. This might be Blue Brothers' day. But yeah, absolutely wide open stuff, Tom. Two questions. Do you fancy anything? And is Centigrade one of those potential group horses in a handicap we've seen plenty of times in these sort of races over the last couple of years?
Yeah, undoubtedly. I mean, his two-year-old form's really good. He was beaten a short head by Jonquil, wasn't he, on his debut as well. So, he's got form that makes him, you know, if he can repeat that form, but he's just inherently the type of horse I would want to take on. It's York. We don't know what the ground is. He's 3-1. He's never run in a handicap. It's just, you know, he might win, but he's plenty short enough for me. I get Kielce's point, saving your money. If he wins, that's fair enough. I'm with you. I like Blue Brother. I thought he ran a blinder at Ascot at the start of the season, and then he was too keen. Unlike you, I think he wants soft ground. I think that's been his problem. Hamed Al-Jahani won both the Stewards Cup and the Golden Mile at Goodwood before I went on holiday, and he is pretty good at these sort of races. I like him. I think he's going to go very well. I get the Spellmaster thing. It's interesting that Ollie Ricks' trainer, Kielce, and I were pals with Henry Ricks, in his dad, in the Racing Post days back in Raynes Park. And he's thick as thieves with Robbie Wright, who's still the tipster for the Times, and he tips Spellmaster. So they must, I think they think he's got a pretty good chance tomorrow. The other one I would throw in at a huge price is Ian Williams' horse, Nizam, because he was a massive eye-catcher at Epsom for me two starts ago. Like Blue Brother, all his form in France was on soft ground. He ran a massive race at Epsom. He was drawn right on the outside. He went right around the outside. He had the worst trip you'll ever see. I know they ended up running on that side, but he got stopped. He went past the winner, Mr. Winston, like he was standing still, then got stopped in his run a couple of times, finished about 6th or 7th. He sort of finished on the bridle, and then he went to the Buckingham Palace on fast ground. He was drawn in 11, had no chance, finished in midfield. But he's just the type of horse Ian Williams does well with. I think any rain will help him. And interestingly, his dam won the Musidora on a one start at York. So there's every reason to think he's going to like York. He's got a nice low draw, and at about 33-1 or whatever he is, I think he'll run well too.
All right. Nizam then, for Ian Williams. At a very big price. And I'm probably going to have to back Cerulean Bay again as well on a little bit of a saver. Because he's got a chance as well, hasn't he? I mean, he's won 7 times in his career, and none of them have been on good to firm. And yet this year, he's run absolute stormers in the Hunt Cup, at Goodwood. Disappointed last time out, but all on fast ground. I mean, he's being campaigned as if he's, you know, fallen out with his parents and doesn't want to go home, because every single week he seems to be running at the moment. But he's got York form as well. He's 20-1. He's another big price, but I still think he's got a race in him, but he might be handicapped up to the hill. But he will have his conditions for the first time tomorrow as well. So it's pretty competitive stuff, this York lark, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It certainly is. Yeah, I love York. You get bigger fields here than everywhere bar Royal Ascot, really, don't you?
Yeah.
All the other festivals.
And at least, I know we keep talking about the draw on the straight track as well, but even if I do get beat by one coming from a box I don't expect, it's still more annoying at Ascot, I think. Because of the, I don't know, maybe just because of the extremes, how big that, I don't mind if they're all in one group and you get beat by one in a bigger, in the wrong box, I don't mind it as much. So it's slightly less frustrating. Just reiterate the your one in length, because we've mentioned so many horses I've forgotten.
So have I. Spellmaster, and I've covered with the jolly.
All right, fair enough. And Tom, you're with?
Blue Brother and Nizam for me.
All right, okay. And I'm with Blue Brother and Sable on Cerulean Bay. Point Linus, let's throw some more in. David Deere loves York and the Holloway Bourne form. Holloway Boy form last time, links to Zeus Olympias.
Massive fan of Point Liners, but he doesn't want the ground to get soft.
No, fair enough. Alex Mansfield says, yes, Tom, welcome to the Nizam Club. And Haggis to strike again with bullet points, says Lewis Whittam. Right, Yorkshire Oaks up next, and Calpana in there. So Judmont Silks again with Balding and Colin Keane teaming up off the back of that huge win at Ascot last time out. Is even money. Mini Hawk, 7-2 to go in again in this race. Joanna Walsh, who waltzed home in the Irish Oaks last time out, is 7-2. Tati Corum is a 12-1 shot for Rafe Beckett, a fast-improving 4-year-old Legacy Link, who's a York horse who was disappointing at Epsom to a certain extent. Very disappointed at Ascot, but that was a strange one, wasn't it? Coming back so quickly, he's 14-1, and it's 16-1 in Ismore. Also, it's a Group 1 horse on her day, and Earthshot as well, who again probably wasn't in the right place at the Curragh last time out, but looked very good when picking him up at Ascot. And Sparron Newer was third in the Irish Oaks. And Sugar Island, who might be a pacemaker or might just batter one of the other ones out of the way. Who knows what's going to happen? But again, big field, cracking renewal, short price favourite. That's the order of the day tomorrow, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, what a great fillies race this is. I mean, it's got to be the best fillies race of the season so far, clearly, isn't it? Got your King George winner, you got the Ark second and last year's winner, you got the Irish Oaks winner, you got a massive improvement, you got the Oaks second and loads of others. I think it's a great race, really looking forward to it. Kalpana is the standout. Clearly, Andrew Balding can do nothing wrong in Group 1s. She loves soft ground. She won't mind the rain. It's just she'd never run at York. Can't see any reason why she wouldn't like York, but she's very good at Ascot. And if they could get two more different sort of racing surfaces, I'd say Ascot and York were as far apart as chalk and cheese or Yogi Bear and some other bear that I can't think of.
Cocaine Bear? Yeah. You seen that film?
No. Or Ted.
Or Ted. Ted.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the only worry against her. I've been to the we've seen many Yorkshire Oaks, as Keel's pointed out, to Gruder getting beaten here at 1-5 and then running the race off her life afterwards in the Ark. It's just a funny track. Mini Hawk, you just don't know what you're gonna get. I think she might like soft ground, but she has been there's been one high this season, but an awful lot of lows. She was, you know, I don't know what happened at Ascot last time. Mm-hmm. And I know they said they went too soon on her, but my God, she finished last. She finished behind the pacemakers. So it's hard to know what you're going to get from her on her Royal Ascot form when she was second to Ombudsman in front of Darry's. She's got a good chance, hasn't she? And she won this race last year, but I just don't know what to expect. So quite a few of these O'Brien horses do have this sort of yo-yo type form. They're good, bad, good, bad run sort of thing. So it wouldn't surprise me if she bounced back. Joanna Walsh is look really good. I just don't know how good they are. I just don't know how good the three-year-old fillies are, Bar Diamond Necklace. Every time they sort of turn up, they get smashed up by the older ones, Bar Diamond Necklace. Mm. So, don't know. I think she looked good, could be the one. I just think Kalpana might be too good for her. And the fly in the ointment is probably this Tatty Quorum, isn't it, I think. I think she won't mind the ground being by Camelot. She looked just moderate last year, but she was really impressive at Newmarket last time. Once again, I think she was probably a bit flattered, and I don't think the second horse ran a race. To Mark Prescott's horse that went on to win a Group 1 in Germany. But she was really, really, she really hit the line hard, and I don't think the ground will be against her, so I could see her running well. The rest, I'm struggling to see. Maybe Innismore will like the ground, but I would be worried about the rest if the ground got soft.
All right, okay. Obviously plenty of different opinions depending on how you approach these sort of races, but James Day says, isn't this the nap of the week, Ross? Nothing within £20 of Calandagan in here, and softer ground for her as well. Jim Stan says, Kalpana's not bad on soft, so there you go. Again, we could be doing the old just playing for our money back, unless you're going to tell me different.
Oh, yeah, she handles everything, doesn't she?
Yeah.
You know, she's ticked off. She does, you know, she can have a slight dip in form, but it's never by that much, is it? You know what I mean? So she's by far the most likely winner. Like Tom said, I mean, Mini Hawk, actually, you know, you could argue that she has better form on that second in the Ark last year. But what has she done? I was just looking at, you know, the horses that ran in the Prince of Wales Stakes. Like Ombudsman's run a stinker today, really, hasn't he? Mini Hawk's come out and run a stinker since. And the other two, Dancing Gemini and Cedar Fire, were both well below form next time as well. Like, you know,
Al Macken was fourth, but he had a bit more time off.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of horses have run badly from that race. But you can't trust her now, can you? What is she going to do? No idea. I could see the case of Tatty Core, but it was incredibly fast ground at Newmarket when she won. That was on, you know, she broke the track record then. If I was going to have an each way bet, and I'm not saying that I will, I'd back Earthshot. She actually went off Fav for the Yorkshire Oaks. She'd beaten Johanna Walsh in the Ribblesdale. and she was just in the wrong place all the way round at Akara. Now, she didn't pick up brilliantly when she did get in the clear, but I don't think she wants fast ground. In fact, William Haggis said that's exactly what he thought until she'd won the Ribblesdale. So there's a chance she will find a bit more for a bit of easy ground. She certainly hits the ground hard enough. Mm. So I'd give her a chance of being in the frame. Can I see her being Cal Parner? I mean, she's got an improving a big way to do so, so not really. So, you know, if I was having a selection, it would be the Fav. I don't bet at those sort of odds, though, so if I was going to have a bet, I might have a very small one on Earthshot each way.
Who's Dam? Was one from one at the track in group company as well. Well, I tell you what, boys, if you two have a good day, I'm not, and vice versa. Tomorrow, because I'm just gonna have to stick with Legacy Link. I'm gonna have to say I was really impressed with her at York. I thought she battled on really well. She hit the line really, really hard. And I thought she was gonna win the Oaks until I turned around and saw Thundering On. I know that form is potentially suspect to a certain extent, and there are the three or four of these. But yeah, I mean, the Ascot run is a throwout. God knows what they were doing coming back 13 days later to run on fast ground in box one. In that race, I mean, and again, she was constantly in the wrong place. It was a very odd decision, I thought. William Buick in the saddle, it would be very horse racing, wouldn't it, for him to turn it around after today and boot home Legacy Link. I just think she's too big, given that we saw she has an item feel. Oh, she's not good enough, but she's back to York where she looked really strong. So her one bad run was on fast ground last time out as well. So she'll handle conditions. She'll handle the track. She'll stay the trip. John, you know, you could back Gosden fillies and mares blind in these races over the last 5 or 10 years and you'd be well in profit. So, yeah, neither of you, you went through all the races, thought someone's going to mention her.
Yep.
And you haven't. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but we'll see.
We will, won't we?
But one of us is going to be...
Well, that race is going to be the least meaningful race as a betting heat for me tomorrow. Anyway.
Yeah, fair enough. Destiny Sounds, course winner, Legacy Link, may outrun the odds. There we go, let's hope you're right. Nice show, guys, says JGEXEC Coaching. Yep, okay. Nice show, guys, Tatty Corum each way for that one. And if the rain comes, Mini Hawk to floor the favourite, says Louis Witten. Or Wotton. Louis Wotton? Witten? Vuitton. Louis Vuitton, yes, the bag maker. Now, as he's known, let's go to the next contest at York then. Another fillies and mares race over the mile and a half. And Mora 4 is 7-2 favourite. A La Prochaine is 9-2. Rhapsody 6-1. Without Prejudice 6-1. Vauntingly 7-1. 14-1 is Prizeland and Summerson. And bigger prices the rest. And I can only assume it's a Gosden Moore official rating sort of thing. But is this not a strange, slightly odd favourite, or is it just something has to be?
I'm not thinking it's entirely strange. I mean, she's got the best form. She won the Winter Derby. She's got the best form. When RPR, she's quite a long way clear. But her entire family is fast ground all weather performers, and she ain't going to get that tomorrow. And also, I think 19 of the 25 winners this century have been 3-year-olds. Yeah. I know there were the last two winners have been 4-year-olds, but they were badly, you know, 3-year-olds were badly represented in both of those races, and I don't think they are here. I much prefer A La Prochaine, who was fourth in the Oaks. I thought she was way too much of a baby back then. And I think she really did try, and she looked like she might be challenging for third at one point. The time off can only have done her good. She will like any softening of the ground. She won on soft ground at Newbury last year. Rafe Beckett said, we're just waiting for it to come to hand. I'm not 100% sure that she had in the spring, and I expect to see a better horse.
All right, A La Prochaine. Yes, she's got a proper feel of one of those Beckett back-end improvers.
Yeah.
He does have a tendency, sort of, as soon as you get to the end of mid to end of August, and the fillies and mares in particular just take off.
Yeah.
And he's in good form as well, 24% strong over the past couple of weeks for Beckett. He also had a little bit of a dip. A La Prochaine then is 9-2. But Tom, you're going to tell us again, aren't you, that the 3-year-old fillies keep getting smashed by the older horses. You've not only got Mora 4, but Rhapsody's the most haggis profile of a haggis horse you've ever seen in your life, haven't you? Here at York, slowly brought along, four-year-old gradually upped in trip, possibly going to pick. You've also got that four-year-old. You've got Unexposed, Without Prejudice and Vauntingly. Prize Land ran into Superior Choice, who I didn't think ran that badly today either. What did you make of this this open contest?
I thought it was horrible, and I don't think Morafor will run if the ground is soft, which makes it even more tricky for punters at this stage, because I think the market will be totally different. Rhapsody was the one I was looking at all week, and then I looked at the weather forecast and, you know, a little bit worried. One run on soft ground was one of her worst. Shouldn't, you know, on pedigree, she should like the step up to a mile and a half for the first time, so I could be, you know, knocking my own sort of way of thinking that I overestimate how much the ground makes an influence on some races. But if it got really soft, I'd be worried. So I didn't really know. The pedigree one was Prize Land for me, because I think she is by the known soft ground sire Territories, is she?
Yep.
And I thought she might run well after a good run behind that horse you mentioned who ran okay in the thing. And I was impressed with Summerson at Foss Lass. Now, it was a three-runner race or whatever, or four-runner race. But there was an odds-on favourite in against her of Rafe Beckett's, and she just looked really strong at the finish. Roger Varian was pretty keen on her in one of those, you know, stable tours for York. He thought she was one of her best shots and would relish mile and a half at York. So got a lot to find, but she's, you know, serve loads of them. You know what I mean? Serve loads of them. You know, they're all about the same. One of them's going to take a big step forward. I don't know which one it is. I'm going to leave it alone. Vauntingly, obviously, Joseph O'Brien with Johanna Walsh thundering on. All those fillies, you know, she could be the one, but I thought she was a bit laboured on soft ground the one time she ran. She's by Night of Thunder, mile and a half soft ground. Don't know. Really, really hard. If I was going to throw a few quid on one, it would probably be Prize Land.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And again, a mile and a half on soft ground should be absolutely spot on. She's a full sister to Hu Yamal, who, you know, was second in Desert Crowns Derby, was it? So again, on good ground, so proper, yeah, mile and a half. And a Superior Choice looked a little bit awkward under pressure today against very, very good horses. So, yeah, I thought she ran pretty well. And again, I'm not entirely sure she's been in love with the conditions. But it's like you said, if Morafor doesn't, I mean, and the rain does come, this is sort of one of those anybody's sort of race, isn't it? Mm. As well, to a certain extent.
Yeah, it is to a reasonable extent.
So there you go. Tom.
Yes.
What do you call... What do you call the person who writes the menus in a sandwich shop?
Don't know. You're going to have to tell me. I'm going to get one of these before the week's out.
A subscribe.
Oh, not another one. God. Okay, next. Do the same again and I'll get it. I promise you.
Tomorrow. See if you can remember. See if your memory lasts longer than 24 hours. That's right. We got a load of subscribers last night. If you... no, I'm not going to... If you love a foot long, subscribe. If you love sandwiches, subscribe. If you love the show, subscribe. If your finger works right now, subscribe. If you've got nothing better to do, subscribe. If you want me to stop saying subscribe, subscribe. Keels, any subscribe?
No, can we get on with it?
Yeah, fair enough. Right, moving on. 4:45 then. A nursery here over the 7 furlongs. Rising Tigers 4-1. Mia Fantasia 4-1. Perfect Nation 9-2. Willie 5-1. Revels 8-1. Mirror's Man 9s. 11-1 the Ginger Kid and 16-1 bar those. It's another absolutely blindingly competitive race. 22 2-year-olds over 7 furlongs. Again, just the type of race that Paul Keighley wakes up in the morning at about 4 a.m. for.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm playing it fairly straightforward, though, because I thought Mia Fantasia was way, way, way better than her mark when she ran in a Goodwood race, and I backed her then, and she got backed off the boards and ran into a world of trouble, finished sixth, and I come away from it thinking she was even more better than her mark. So I've gone in again in the hope that she will get a clear run this time. Now, she did finish behind Rising Tiger, and probably, you know, there isn't that much between them at the revised weights, possibly with even Rising Tiger coming out on top. But I think she's, you know, I'm definitely convinced she's way better than her mark. She's by Make Believe, who handled bad ground well. The damn sight was Olympic Glory, and the bad ground, you know, there's no guarantee that she will, but there's hope on both sides of the pedigree. So I think it'll go really well and take a lot of beating.
And then you had to, basically, if seven
furlongs. I keep calling her she, so he will be in the 90s before the season's out.
I mean, he does have an. Yeah, Mia is a woman's name, so that's what I keep thinking of as well. I assume it's some Italian for My Fantasy or whatever, but anyway. But yeah, if you were drawn double figures over seven at Glorious Goodwood, you had no chance.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So, okay, so Mia Fantasia in again. All right, for Hugo Palmer and Marco Ghiani, who's having a very good time of it at the moment. Tom?
Yeah, wait, it was really, really hard. Well, Leaf is obviously interesting. Liked his run last time. But I thought Revels was it. Revels was, I liked Revels' performance. I mean, it's in track 20. I do. I don't like the orange ones. No, they're out. But he's owned by the chocolate maker, actually, isn't he? That's why he's called Revels.
Yeah.
I liked him. Trap 20 is the problem, isn't it, for him? But should like soft ground on pedigree. I thought he did well to win at Goodwood last time. I'm not sure being on this side was any great advantage as the meeting went on. We saw that in the Stewards' Cup. I love watching, as I said last night, draw ceremonies when they all go, oh no, we're the last one out, and the last one out goes and wins. Seems to happen every time. So I'm not too worried about 20. If he can get in, I think he's got a lot of pace. I think step up to seven furlongs will suit him. He's a big price on form. Obviously, trap 20 is the problem. And I do think Walif, number six, for Archie Watson. For Ed Bethel, sorry. He's getting better all the time. And he's another one drawn wide. But I think he's quite a good horse, and too darn hot. Tends to get horses that don't mind a bit of cutting the ground. So they'd be my two, Walif and Revels, against the field.
There you go. I do like this Perfect Nation, though. I did like him. He absolutely destroyed him at Lincoln. He just kept going and going and going. And that Foss last race last time out, the time was very strong, which, again, you don't get that many good two-year-olds over 7.5 furlongs at Foss last, so it's hard to judge. But again, travelled like a dream, ground them into submission. The horse who finished dead last first mate ran really well next time out. It's got a mark of 70, I think. Horse who finished second last, Avionics, is rated 81 and won yesterday or the day before, upsetting a short price runner. Drawn in box four, Bowie and Lochnan. I do like him a lot.
Sioux Nation, didn't you tell me they have bad records in big fields?
They do have bad records in big fields, yeah. Which is a shame, isn't it? Because this is a very big field. That is a concern. That is a concern. Thanks, Kills. Thanks for reminding me about that.
Yeah, I thought I'd drop that one in.
No, you know, I appreciate it. I mean, I've been hoisted by my own petard there, haven't I? So, fair enough. Right, moving on then to the last race of the day on day two at York. Another seven furlong race, a Phillies handicap. Starlight Lass, 5-2 favourite. Albeda, 5-1. Triss, 13-2. Macadadorp, 8-1. Came is 11. Secret History, 11s as well. 12-1. Carnival of Light. And Zoella, again. 21 runners at the moment. Could shorten up to a certain extent as well. But there's nothing punters love more than a potential group horse in the Judmont Silks in a handicap, especially in the last race at a big meeting like York, Tom. So they've come for Starlight Lass.
Yeah, not surprising, is it? Very well bred horse that you'd expect from Judmonty, but 5-2 is plenty sure. I like your horse from Goodwood, dropping back in trip, or going up in trip. Machadadorp, whatever you pronounce it for me.
Machadadorp. There you go.
That one. Yeah, the trip was wrong for her last time. I thought the previous form stands up really strongly. I noticed that Andrew Balding obviously has a great record at thing. Oisin's on her. What's not to like? She'll do for me against the Fav.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is the perfect race for her, which can only mean one thing, because this is the same race that Dancing the Storm got beaten last year for the same connections. So can't wait for it to happen again. Keels?
Yeah, at a big price. The returning Lam Yai, first run for 299 days. Windop form figures on soft or heavy, 1-2-1. Commanding winner of a heavy ground listed race on a final start last season. Not a good one, admittedly. Actually got dropped a pound for it. But has a group entry at the end of the month, which suggests Carl Berg thinks she's still okay. And yeah, she's rated 96 with a group entry. Wants soft ground. She may simply have been off because the ground has been fast all season.
True.
And there's been nothing for her to run in. Stable's going really well. Stall one. I just thought it was a reasonable price.
All right, fair enough.
And absolutely nailed on to get the extra furlong on pedigree.
Can I throw in Woohoo at a big price as well, Ross?
As soon as you're so excited about it, Tom, you absolutely can.
just because it's just an interesting one. I don't think she's ever run over seven, but she's bred to get it. Jim Goldie had that horse run off its face today in the 2 mile handicap, second to Small Fry. Just interesting that he's running her here. Over seven, so many opportunities for her. And her best run, I thought, was at Goodwood the other day, over six, when she hit the line really hard, won her side by miles. So wouldn't surprise me if she ran well at a big price either.
And Jim Goldie could, you know, I know there's a bit of a cliche of Aidan O'Brien saying this horse has got the speed to win over five and also to win a mile and a half. But if anyone could do that, it's Jim, isn't it?
Yeah.
He does that with all his horses.
I was really impressed with her at Goodwood the other day. I know Sing the Blues beat her, but only beat her a neck, and she was well clear. It was 7-23-1 was the first four home, and she was like miles away from the others and hit the line hard. So maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. But I think Macadadorp's going to be the annoying thing. There was one out of that race that went straight in the track, and she did way too much on the speed. Beaujolais Nouveau, but she's up to seven, drawn 21. I'm surprised she's running this race to a certain extent, but she's definitely on the radar. But yeah, 7 furlongs, Macadadorp. That Planet Seeker form is really, really good. All the novice form's good. She just didn't have the pace over six, and she did plug on, but she's clearly better over seven. This is absolutely ideal in box nine, and I can't wait for her to get the Dance in the Blues treatment and get beaten after getting all the trouble in the world.
I had a really, really bad day on Beaujolais Nouveau many, many, many years ago.
Did you? You just had a flashback there.
Yeah, good story, but I don't want to make people feel sick.
No, fair enough. No, let's leave that for the premium subscribers, the premium subscribe. Right, okay. Quick shout out to a couple on the chat before we wrap it up. Diddly dee dee dee. Starlight Lass is the bet of the day, says David Deer. And I just have to read this. It's made me laugh. I was trying not to laugh while you were reading that out, Tom. But where is it now? Oh no, he's deleted his previous comment, I think. No, Davy Bananas 1735 said that joke was so bad I've just unsubscribed. And then Dimp Dimp said, was the username Davy Bananas 1734 taken? Insinuating there are 1,734 other Davy Bananas out there watching us on YouTube. So a shout out to all you Davy Bananas. If all of you are watching, subscribe. Right, okay, let's get the nap before I go bananas on day two of the York Ebor Festival. Paul Keighley, what's the best bet?
Yeah, I'm going to go Mia Fantasia in that nursery. I think he is way better than his marker.
Okay, very well. Mia Fantasia it is. Tom?
Now I'm going to let you go first, Yogi. Off you go.
grandmother's rule, don't change your mind. Satellite of Love. For me, John Budden and Lou Reed. Tom?
What a good song that was. I remember Lou Reed sat. That was brings me back to my student days.
Yeah, it's a banger.
Yeah. I'm going to go for Blue Brother in the mile handicap. I think this is his day.
Okay, lovely stuff. Right, let's wrap it up. But before we do, let's take a trip back in memory lane and we'll leave you with this. It was only a year ago that myself and Paul Keighley we're exploring other career options. Good night. It says you need part-time staff, so...
Yeah, well, this is it.
Yeah.
We can help. We can definitely help.
Come into the inner sanctum.
Oh, right. Here we go. Yeah.
All right, right, you're going to try your lemon one.
Let me try a piece of that.
All right. Come on, talk us through it. I was going to say, imagine it's MasterChef, but that's not a good reference at the moment, is it?
No.
Oh, that is proper lemony.
I think I've been doing this all wrong. I could have been a fudge maker.
Yeah.
Fudge maker.